You know what? We're going to lean into the we're nice here part of that today. Let's just lean into being nice. A kindness-infused writer than you coming at you for the next 2 hours. That is a challenge I'm not sure I can meet, but I'm going to try. Phone number on the show, 888-710-4ISN. I'm looking at my executive producer, Ryan Hickey, and accepting that it's going to be a big challenge I may not be able to meet. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. You can also get Ryan, DJ El Guapo, here on the show, I think, is the name that's going to stick. Ryan underscore Hickey. And the number three, I'm on there at Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. A good comedian is someone who makes you laugh at a joke that you think you shouldn't laugh at. That's their, and I'm not going to weigh into all of it, but I don't know how I feel about Shane Gillis, but the guy is funny. All right, he's funny, and I don't know what Disney was thinking letting him be the guy at the ESPYs, but they did, and he went full Norm MacDonald, and just, he was funny, and he made everyone in that building uncomfortable, and we're going to let you just listen to some of his clips and quips later in the show. There is, speaking of ESPN, there is a story that is out from one of their writers. It's phenomenally well done about Joel Embiid. That writer spent time with him. Some insight on one of the most potentially disappointing stars in any sport in this era. And yet there's some nuance here to how he feels about that and what the reality is and where he's going to go next. We'll talk about that a little bit. We've got Would You Rather. We'll pack a lot of topics into there. Joe Theismann, friend of the show, going to be on the show in an hour. Very excited to visit with Joe. We'll get into a bunch of stuff, including, man, ESPN's everywhere, huh? It's going to be really hard to make this a nice version of Writer Than You today if it's all ESPN content. Their list, some list, ranking the top quarterbacks, his view on that. And the Commanders made a interesting move. I don't know if I want to call it a big move. We'll talk to Joe about that. That'll be in buy or sell as well. Several things that we're going to hit over the course of the next couple hours. We are 6 weeks-ish away from the start of the college football season. It begins with a bang. We've got Texas, Ohio State opening up. It's at 9 in the morning out here on the West Coast because the geniuses over at Fox Sports, who are based here, by the way, want that game to be super early. I haven't checked with my wife yet. Am I allowed? What are the rules on drinking a beer at 9 in the morning? I like to have a Budweiser when I'm watching football. I don't know. And there's going to be a lot of backdrop to this game. Obviously, these are two teams that faced each other in the college football playoff last year. They represent the two biggest conferences, the only conferences that matter, those conferences. And we'll talk about this maybe in some depth tomorrow. Continue the SEC and the Big Ten to be at odds over how to structure a college football playoff format after this year. They're at odds because they both are throwing their weight around. There's a lot here. Oh, and these are really good football teams. Texas and Ohio State defending champions, are dominant forces, and it'll be a really fun, interesting, insightful litmus test for each of these teams. Here's the thing. Here's the reality. Everything I just mentioned, to say nothing of Texas' season in a vacuum and Ohio State's season in a vacuum, are big storylines, are interesting, are important, and they're nothing compared to Arch Manning and the narrative and the hype and the pressure that has surrounded him. Arch Manning, for better or worse, is going to be, when he starts that game for Texas, when he starts his third game in his career in college football, is going to instantly be one of the biggest stories in the world in sports, full stop. Shohei Ohtani, as big. Caitlin Clark, as big. Whatever the biggest NBA storyline is next year, as big. You name it, he's going to be at the center of it. And the pressure is massive. And there's a few things here. One, yeah, this is a promising young player. He was a five-star quarterback coming out of school, coming out of high school. He has, I think, commendably, very wisely, and I think very rarely sat for a few years now, biding his time at Texas. Now, he's played more than two games. He's got a good number of snaps. He's got 13 total touchdowns, if you include his rushing touchdowns, it's just two picks. In his two starts, he's got five passing touchdowns and those two picks. But the real weight of Arch Manning's situation, beyond the fact that he was highly recruited, highly sought after, number five, here we go again, ESPN, number five prospect in ESPN's top 300 list a couple years ago when he came into Texas. beyond the fact that Texas has one of the best defenses in the country, and according to Steve Sarkisian, the head coach, the best defense in his tenure, beyond the fact that every single year Texas and Ohio State are expected to win national championships by their fan base, and maybe Ohio State gets a little bit of a break this year, but they better beat Michigan if they don't win the whole thing, at least if you're Ryan Day. All of that, all that pressure pales in comparison to the name on the back of his jersey. Cooper Manning's kid. He's not Eli's kid. He's Eli's nephew. He's not Peyton's kid. He's Peyton's nephew. One of the ironies here, and I don't know that I know Cooper Manning, but when I was going through a tryout for a TV job that I got it by a miracle, I think they made a mistake, at Fox Sports a decade ago, Cooper was going for a job. And everybody in that room, those that got the gigs and those that didn't, were famous athletes, alphas, beautiful men, beautiful women if they weren't athletes. And everybody was, how do I say this, pretty into themselves other than one guy, Cooper Manning. Sweet guy, nice guy, didn't get the gig. There was a humility and a humor to him that maybe has been passed on to his son. And I hope so. Because there is no pressure on the face of the earth in 2025 like a name on your back and the expectations that we create for people that they can or can't meet. This is the equivalent, and I don't know if he has the talent. I think that he does. People think that he does. There's already talk about the fact that he could be not the best college football player this year. There is talk that he could be the best college football player of the century, the best quarterback in college football since Tim Tebow. And whenever your temperature on Tebow, I know it didn't work at the NFL level. The guy was, for my money, the best college football player maybe in the history of the sport, certainly in this century, for totality of his career. I'm not talking a single season. And to put that on Arch Manning already is not about what people have seen on tape. Most of us haven't watched that much. It's not about the time that he's played at Texas. He's looked pretty good when he's been in. It's about the name on his back. This is LeBron James being put on the cover of Sports Illustrated. This is Bryce Harper being put on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 17 times 1,000. Because that Manning name, and I like to make jokes about Peyton Manning because Ryan Hickey, the executive producer, loves the guy. That Manning name is royalty. Arch's uncles defined the sport for a generation. Arch's granddad and namesake, which is not an easy thing to carry, so defined the sport that his number at Ole Miss, grandpa's number at Ole Miss, is the speed limit on campus. Can you imagine just wearing a random number in college, in high school and college, and being so good that later I went to Missouri? I would have worn 17 because of Mark Grace. Everybody's got to drive 17 miles an hour because that's the number that I chose. This is a weight, and it's a burden. And the fact is, the question about whether or not Arch Manning's good enough to play in the NFL, is a Hall of Fame-level quarterback, can take the pressure, is actually going to be answered starting against Ohio State. Most of these guys, most of these quarterbacks, maybe I'm leaning to this same unfairness. Most of these quarterbacks, and whether they can handle the jump from college to the NFL, those questions get answered at the NFL level. I don't think that's true for Arch Manning. I think this season will tell whether he can handle the biggest burden, the biggest obstacle, the biggest challenge, and that's his name. And there's no way of knowing until he's actually out there expected to do it. Ohio State's a good football team. Even if Fox Sports has that game at 3 in the morning or whatever the hell time it is, 9 in the morning my time. It's noon if you're on the East Coast, so you're okay. But even if you're in the Midwest, 11 a.m. is a little early, I think, for this kind of a college football game. If he does not play well, if he does not play spectacularly, hell, if he plays badly, if he has a couple picks, and especially if Ohio State wins this game, the game's in Columbus, you're going to hear people saying that the sky is falling. You're going to hear people saying that he's not any good. You're going to hear people saying, so this is why he sat. This is why he didn't transfer. He doesn't have it. And I'm telling you, the jerk faces, I can't swear, I don't want to swear. Who wants to swear? I should stop doing it. The jerk faces are going to say, no wonder he's Cooper's kid and not Eli or Peyton's kid. And he knows it. And by the way, that moment's coming. He's going to have a bad game. It won't be against Sam Houston State Community College Northeast or whatever the hell's later down the schedule. And it may or may not be against Ohio State. I mean, to the advantage of him, he started a couple games, he's got a lot of snaps. There's not a ton of tape on him. You can't prepare for him right now if you're Ohio State the way that SEC teams will be able to when we get into October. So there's going to be a rising level of challenge. And his talent and the little tape and history that we have on him, and the fact that this is a great Texas team, he doesn't have to do everything. This is not Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M a decade ago having to basically be the singular force that lifts a team above what they're capable of. No. he's in a great position to succeed. The problem is, and it's a big thing, he is expected to live up to the name Eli Manning and Peyton Manning and Arch Manning and Tim Tebow and Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes and throw in whoever else you want the moment he is actually the designated full-time starter of a team expected out of Texas to win a national championship, at least from its fan base. And I thought his uncle Eli, who was on, God help me, was he on ESPN? It's going to be really hard to be nice, but it's okay. It's a nice writer than you today. I thought Eli... His uncle, obviously remarkably talented quarterback, had to carry the same weight, the same name, the same pressure. Eli had some, I thought, some perspective on just, it's not all going to be puppy dogs and rainbows and chocolate sundaes for his nephew.
I'm optimistic. I think he's going to do great. Of course, there's going to be some ups and downs. He's still a young quarterback. It's not going to all be perfect. I think probably the expectations are unattainable of what people think he's going to be, come in and just be automatic. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be interceptions, but there's going to be a lot of touchdowns. There'll be a lot of good things. And each week, it'll be an opportunity for him to learn something new.
Hey, look, I'm part of this. I'm talking about him on July 17th, 6 weeks out. I'm going to talk about him every single day that I can. I'm fascinated. I'm interested. I'm rooting for him. But I'm not going to lie to you and pretend, even on a Thursday nice edition of Righter Than You, that if that game goes badly, if Arch Manning throws three picks and Ohio State just rolls Texas, then I'm going to come on the radio on Monday and tell you everything's fine. It'll feel like the sky is falling because this is a guy who is expected to be everything. Now, he's in a position to be able to succeed on the football field. And the biggest question for me will be not how he battles the Ohio States. I think he's got it in him to do that eventually, maybe immediately. The question will be, how does he handle being a Manning, that name? And how, frankly, does he handle people like me and people like you and people in the local media who are going to tear him down when things go badly? And by the way, just as problematic, lift him up when things go a little bit well. On the flip side, if he comes out and they run the football and Texas defense is stifling and they win this game, I don't know, 17-14, and he's fine and he throws a touchdown pass and maybe he rushes for a touchdown. He's fairly efficient. He completed 68% of his passes so far. He's in that. He completes 66% of his passes. Doesn't turn the ball over. He's a little shaky, but looks okay. People are going to they're going to anoint him the greatest thing ever. Both of those extremes, you are the greatest thing ever, you are a failure to your name, are things he's going to have to learn how to navigate. Now, the good news is, again, going back to Johnny Manziel, this is not A&M from 10 years ago. This is not Texas from 10 years ago or 5 years ago. This is a really well-put-together team. And Sark, who knows a thing or two about demons, about expectations, about getting on top of the world and then crashing down and then reinventing yourself, that kind of life perspective matters. It can help people like Arch Manning. He pointed out that the good news for Arch is even if he can do everything, he doesn't have to succeed this season.
Arch Manning's on a really good team. We've got good players around him. We've got a good defense. We're good on special teams. He's got skill players around him. It's not going to be all about Arch Manning. Do I want him to play well? Do I want him to do his job well? Yes, but for us to be as successful as we can be, to try to become champions, we need to play well as a team, and it's not just going to be all about him.
That is Sark, and probably the pitch, by the way, he gave the Manning family to get him in there. On, are you ready for it? You going to guess it? Courtesy of ESPN. Courtesy of the same people who employed Shane Gillis. We'll get to that in a little bit. It was funny. I'm sorry. It was funny. Most of it was funny. Now, Arch may have been groomed for this. He is a legend's nephew, not son. His family has been immersed in not just football, but being public figures for a long time. And he has looked, Arch, really good. He's looked good in the moments that we have seen him. Filling in, coming in, stepping in, whatever the case may be. He's looked really impressive. He also sounds, and we don't know until we see it, he sounds like a young dude who has whatever it takes to be able to weather the problematic and sometimes toxic attention that comes with being a public figure in America in 2025.
I'm not really in the business of this is going to sound mean, but like caring what other people think. But, you know, I'm grateful that y'all think that, but I've only played, what, two games, so I got a lot to prove. But, I'm ready to play, though.
And here's the deal. he's the most interesting athlete in America maybe this year. And I'm not saying he's better. Failures are interesting. I've seen people fail, and they're fascinating. I'm not rooting for that. I'm hoping he's a success. He's not as good as Caitlin Clark, but I already know what Caitlin Clark is and where she trends toward. He's not as good as Shohei Ohtani yet. I know where that trends toward. He's obviously not even remotely in the same conversation. I probably shouldn't bring him up with Patrick Mahomes, but that question's been answered. As a storyline, as a point of interest, because what do we like in sports? What do we like just generally in life? Why do we go to movies? Why do we date? Well, there's a couple of reasons we date, but what's one of the reasons that we go dating? All of these things are because we like to be surprised with things that work out. We like the idea of something that can be amazing that we're not quite sure about. Take Ryan as the producer of the show. We're still waiting on, you know, we think it's going great. Arch Manning is this promise of the potential of another big story, another oh my God talent, another one of those things that draws into sports. There's no, and there's a part of us that also, the uncertainty, the possibility of failure. I hate it. It's human nature to be curious, to wonder. You take all of that and you put the name on his back. He's one of the biggest stories in sports. And all the sound you're hearing, or a lot of it, is from SEC Media Days. And he's the focal point. This is the most important conference in America. I'm sorry, Big Ten. I know you've won the last two national championships. It's the SEC, and then it's the Big Ten a little bit. We're talking, and we'll be talking about how college football is going to structure itself based on whether the SEC and the Big Ten can win a battle amongst each other. Who wins that tug of control power, that tug of war? Texas, Ohio State is a great kickoff to the season on August 30th at 9 in the morning on the West Coast. But I do love you, Fox Sports, because you once employed me. And all of that is not as interesting. It will not be as important. It will not be talked about as much as Arch Manning. And by the way, not just because of the name. Because if he is able to do what Sark is correctly, wisely telling you he doesn't have to do, if he can carry a team, if he can have that magic, if he can lift up Texas in those moments, see last year's, what, semifinal in the college football playoff, where he can be that extraordinary, Texas can be national champions. And if he can do that, there's a world where for whatever team drafts him next year, a year from now, it's the start of another run of Manning greatness in the NFL, defining whatever team is lucky enough to get him. There's a lot riding on Arch Manning, not just because of who he is and what his family's been, but because what he can be. And I can't wait to see it. And the question of whether or not he can navigate it almost certainly comes down to, not can he play football at that level? He probably can. There's a reason he plays at Texas. There's a reason he was the fifth best prospect in the sport in high school coming out in 2023. There's a reason he was a five-star quarterback. There's a reason the Mannings have been pretty good. Their grandfather, these uncles, this family, they know how to grow football talent. The question is, can he handle the human pressure, the reality, the struggle, the difficulty of being told he's great, he's the greatest of all time one day, and he is a piece of bleep the next? That's the challenge. Hope he can meet it. Hope he can face it. Question gets answered starting August 30th. All right. God, I can't wait to watch Arch Manning actually play a bunch of games. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. And those of you asking, yes, Ryan Hickey does go on the Zach Gelb show every Wednesday and say crazy stuff like Penn State's going to win the whole thing. So just, we can put it aside. He's not bum of the week. Because if that was it, he'd be bum of the week every single week. So just let it go. And you might want to just let your anger go on Shane Gillis. Shane Gillis offended a lot of people yesterday. He's the funny comedian with the mustache. He's pretty funny. And we're going to let you listen on this Be Nice. I mean, it's be hard to be. Why did I say Be Nice Thursday on Rider Than You? Shane Gillis wasn't nice. You know what? He'll be mean and funny. And let you listen to some of the ESPYs next here on Rider Than You.
You're listening to the Rider Than You podcast.
Welcome back to Rider Than You.
I like to come up with nicknames for people to make fun of them. I love Caitlin Clark. I'm not making fun of Caitlin Clark. I'm from Iowa. Parents are Hawkeye fans. Buy or sell, you want to hear my name, though.
Bye.
Aiken Clark.
Bye.
All right. She's hurt. She's aching.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
You're about to be aching when you listen to some of these clips from Shane Gillis. Good morning. Welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Either aching because you belly laugh so hard or aching because you're pissed off. He got a little edgy. I'm not going to play the real edgy ones. I'm just going to leave that. I'm not going to wade into those waters. Good morning, Ryan Hickey.
Good morning, Bill. Did you notice the music change up for that last rejoin?
Oh, I didn't. Where do we begin?
Oh, some Bad Bunny, because we received a tweet yesterday that we do not include enough Spanish music, so I tried to rectify that.
Speaking of Bad Bunny, sometimes when you're on Zach Gelb, you're bad but funny, and What I noticed is it doesn't take – you like that? It doesn't – you predicting Penn State's going to win has no merit and no value even if you're right because you do it every year. There's no credibility there.
Last year, I did not say they're going to win the national championship. All I said was just make the college football playoff. I think that was the. I didn't even say win a playoff game. I think just make it.
I'm just telling you.
So you're telling me right now, I deserve zero credit.
Correct.
For saying Penn State wins the national title on July 16th, if in fact they do it, because you're basically saying the boy who cries wolf that eventually every blind squirrel finds a nut.
This blind squirrel won't find a nut because that nut probably doesn't exist under James Franklin, but yes. You're in the desert right now.
Wow.
But sure. Yes, I'm basically agreeing. You know what? It's a nice, I'm sorry. It's a nice Thursday.
What the hell?
Than you.
What the hell is this?
Let me, you're right. What the hell is this? Let me heal things with the ESPYs. I find the ESPYs to be really stupid, okay? Full disclosure. Now, I also found the All-Star game to be dumb, and they had pretty great ratings. Almost 8 million people watching that thing. Doubled up the NBA All-Star game. So what do I know? But this is basically a network celebrating itself that takes itself too seriously. But every now and then, they bring in a presenter, a host, a comedian who turns that upside down, who takes their smugness and turns into part of the joke. And that, I think, is part of what's funny here is Shane Gillis was the guy yesterday. He made them very uncomfortable. I can't give you all the clips because some of them aren't amazing. But as you probably know, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, well-deserving MVP, well-deserving NBA champion. He could sneeze in a game, be a flagrant foul on somebody else. That guy could go to the free throw line just by saying please to the official. And Shane Gillis, who saw SGA in the crowd, started off part of his very funny monologue making that point.
SGA is here. Give it up for SGA. Hell yeah, bro. And now everybody sitting around him is in foul trouble.
Here's the thing. The best thing about this, if you can go find the clips, is that when Gillis starts to bring up players and they can find them and they cut to them, they look so horrified because they don't. SGA got off easy. SGA should be like, yeah, okay, good one. Now, I'm not a big Karl Anthony Towns guy. I can give you a reason. I've been around him a few times, not anything long, but I've been around him for one-on-one interviews where, you know, you're around him for 15 minutes, you talk to him beforehand, you're around him after. He's fine. I wouldn't describe him as my favorite person on the face of the earth. I can't give you a great reason. And so I was amused because comedians, the good ones, are insightful. They are students of human nature. They understand things intrinsically that they then turn into jokes. And I can't explain to you why Shane Gillis at the ESPYs took a random shot at Kat. I can only tell you it felt magical.
The New York Knicks had a great season. Yeah, hell yeah. Karl Anthony Towns is here. Hey, girl.
I don't know what it means. Ryan, do you know why? I don't even know why.
Well, they call him Zesty Cat, and I think he has some mannerisms. I don't know how you would describe it, but he has some interesting mannerisms.
I guess I do know why, but I just didn't want to say it out loud. By the way, you and I are not important enough for Shane Gillis to make fun of us, but if we were, he would eviscerate us in ways he could not even. I mean, this is a difficult thing to be under the microscope of this particular comedian. The best part of it was, all right, so there is a, and it's true in the media, it's true, all of us, whatever we do, there's a self-righteousness when you get people together and they celebrate themselves. I mean, half of these get-togethers in Vegas, or in this case the ESPYs, where people do, you know, conventions, it's just, let's celebrate we're amazing, we're the, I don't know, National Association of Gardeners. And all they do is about how great they are all the time. Right? It's not like they're doing self-criticism. And so it's nice to have, especially in the sports world, where there's not a lot of criticism directed toward athletes. They don't love it. They don't let the media in very often in these situations. To bring on the stage a fearless comedian who's going to go after him and push the envelope. And there were some jokes. I mean, there was an Epstein joke that was just like, oh my God. Anyway, I mean, even that word coming up on the show is like, oh my God, it's uncomfortable. That name. The WNBA, I like the WNBA. And I think Caitlin Clark's been amazing for the sport. But there has been a lot of posturing of people pretending that they've been watching the WNBA for years. I'm not going to lie to you. I've never watched the WNBA until Caitlin Clark showed up. Does that make me a bad person? No, it does not, actually. I just wasn't interested and didn't have time. And that's true for a lot of people. Part of the success of Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and this sort of new influx of talent, and Clark is the tip of that spear for sure, is new people watching the sport. That's what you want. And Shane Gillis, I thought, had a great bit where he fooled, he basically made everyone in that building the butt of the joke when he leaned into the fake self-righteousness sometimes of people pretending that they've been consuming WNBA content for 20 years.
Four-time WNBA All-Star Brittany Hicks is here. Give it up for Brittany, everybody. I'm joking around. That's my friend's wife. I knew none of you knew WNBA players. That's crazy. You clap for that.
What a jerk. It's nice. It's a nice rather than you Thursday, but this took place on a Wednesday, and it's not me doing it. There were some edgy ones. I can't play all the edgy ones. And some of you are going to be offended by some of them, and some of you are going to be offended by the people that were offended. Fine. Like, you go to a comedy show, trust me, you're going to get offended, and maybe some of them are offensive. I don't really want to get into it. But it does take a master of the craft to take Shohei Ohtani and Bill Belichick and craft this harmony of humor.
Shohei Ohtani couldn't make it tonight. Man, I hope his interpreter didn't bet that he was going to be here. Shohei is a once-in-a-generation talent. No one's been able to do what he does at so many positions, pitcher, hitter, and bookie. A bookie is what Bill Belichick reads to his girlfriend before bedtime. They do. They read The Very Horny Caterpillar, The Little Engine That Could But Needed a Pill First, and, of course, the classic Goodnight Boobs. That was my favorite one. I'm not trashing Bill Belichick. First off, he's 73 years old and he's dating a hot 24-year-old, and people are criticizing him? What happened to this country? Maybe if you guys won 6 Super Bowls, you wouldn't be sitting next to a fat, ugly dog wife. They let me do it. I don't... This is Disney. They allowed that. Yeah, we should have taken that out. I had doubts going into that. That didn't work all week.
Did he say fat, ugly dog wife?
That he did.
I want to credit ESPN for not just flashing to anyone. Did you notice that the camera just stayed just on it, trained on him? Is that one too far?
Because he did not target anyone individually, no. Imagine he pointed like this guy over here.
He might get Will Smith'd. There might be a Will Smith moment. And then, all right, so Norm Macdonald, legendary, one of my favorite comedians of all time, is a legend to other comedians. And I think this is amazing. So Norm Macdonald, was this 20 years ago? 1999, 26 years ago, whatever it was. I went on stage, and Norm would always make O.J. Simpson jokes on SNL. It's what got him fired. Always. And I just think it's amazing, and I love this, and again, it made everyone uncomfortable, that Gillis paid homage to Norm Macdonald with this joke.
There's one thing I want to say before I get out of here, and this is a dumb joke. You guys aren't going to like it, but it was it's just a Norm Macdonald joke that I loved when he hosted the ESPYs, and I'm going to do it now. Travis Hunter won the Heisman Trophy this year. He's the first defensive player since Charles Woodson to win the Heisman. Congratulations, Travis Hunter, winning the Heisman. That's something they can never take away from you unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case they can take that away from you.
Ryan, so you, there are some other jokes that are, there's a Caitlin Clark joke that we're not going to play that people are either finding very funny or very offensive. There are some other bits that were in there. I found the whole thing funny and a little insulting, but that's, I don't mind being insulted from my comedians. Did you laugh or did you, I definitely exclaimed out loud. My wife told me to keep quiet because my kids were sleeping when I watched him make the Bill Belichick joke and the horse face joke and the Caitlin Clark joke. Like, I did it out loud. Oh, my God.
I loved it. And in part because, like, isn't that what makes comedians funny? Like, they say stuff that no one else would. They go to places that no one else normally would. And that's what I think, it's what's funny about it.
It takes some guts, right? Because if you're a comedian at a comedy club, people are drinking, they want to laugh. Doesn't mean it's always going to go well, but you have an audience that is looking forward to being a part of the joke and laughing, and you're not usually making fun of the audience, right? If someone sort of becomes obnoxious, you'll see comedians go after them. In another life, I tried to be a comedian. Very bad at it. Turns out you have to be funny in order to be a comedian. That was my big error in judgment. He's going into the lion's den, and he's going into a place where he's going to make fun of the very people that are there and just want to be honored and told how great they are. Good for him.
Agreed, and good for him for not playing it safe. Again, I think that's what makes it funny is by being edgy, saying things no one would, and that's, I think he crushed it.
What's amazing is that as funny as Shane, I'm going to end here. We'll do Embiid at the end of the show. I want to get to this Joel Embiid story in ESPN. It's great. There's some insight. We'll do it at the end of the show. I want to credit Ryan Hickey, though, before we move on to Would You Rather and Chris Lepresti. Just really quickly, Shane Gillis did this yesterday, and he went on, he talked about sports, and he was hilarious in his stand-up. And he still didn't say the funniest thing about sports yesterday. That was Ryan saying on the Zach Gelb show that Penn State would win the whole thing. So congratulations, Ryan, for making Shane Gillis finish second. Now, yours was accidental. Oh, shoot. Today's a Be Nice Thursday, isn't it?
I'm not struggling with it. You said, did the okey-doke. It's a Be Nice Thursday. Let me just throw jabs
struggling
like the
with
entire
it.
Show.
In fairness, I saw it this morning, and I didn't laugh out loud. Part of me died.
So not a good comedian. 0 for 1 is what you're saying.
Well, it's still funny.
In a different way.
Very different.
You're laughing at me, not with me.
I think we're all laughing in our own special ways because of you. Let's do a little Would You Rather. Would you rather, after a sports flash from Chris Lepresti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Bill, sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24/7. See if you can save at ProgressiveCommercial.com. NFL training camps right around the corner. Von Miller still hanging around. The veteran pass rusher reportedly joining the Commanders on a one-year deal. Played the last three seasons with the Bills, previously a Super Bowl winner with the Rams and the Broncos, including MVP honors for Denver and Super Bowl 50. 49ers reportedly reached a contract agreement with defensive tackle Alfred Collins, $10.3 million over 4 years, including $9 million guaranteed. He's only the third second-round pick to sign after the first two got fully guaranteed contracts, which was unprecedented, led to a stare-down between the rest of the second-rounders and their drafting teams. Former Texans and Eagles linebacker Brian Braman died today at the age of 38 after seeking treatment this year for a rare aggressive form of cancer. He had undergone multiple surgeries during treatment in Seattle following his cancer diagnosis back in February. Round one of the Open Championship from rainy Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. It's a three-way tie for the clubhouse lead at 4 under par, shared by England's Matt Fitzpatrick, China's Haotong Li, and Denmark's J.S. Olesen. Scotty Scheffler, hunting his fourth major, is 2 under through 16 holes. He's two shots back. 55-year-old Phil Mickelson, a 1 under 70. It's his best opening round in this event since 2016. Currently leaves him three shots off the pace. I'm Chris Lepresti.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
I think what Scotty Scheffler is saying is not that golf isn't important or isn't interesting. It's that you spend your life chasing this thing you think defines your life, and you wake up one day, and if you're lucky enough to have caught it, and I have in my own little way, and he has in a massive way, it turns out that that's great, but the thing that you actually cherish and love the most is something you haven't been chasing. In a much lesser way, I can relate to it, because I chased something my whole life and then ended up with Ryan. Just kidding.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back into the show. In fairness to Ryan, oh my God, I hate this song. Did somebody tell you to play this song? I hate this song. Be this fan, Jimmy World, you suck. Ugh.
I did not know this is a rivalry, really.
I just hate it.
Okay.
I think maybe because. Do you want a deep psychological insight?
Sure.
This song, I got a job in Little Rock, Arkansas, out of college. And you know how it is when you're in college and you're sort of tired of college and you want to make money and you're poor and then you get a job and you're so happy. And then somewhere between 3 weeks to 3 months into the job, you realize you now work for a living and you're going to work for the rest of your life. And your job is not the idyllic, perfect thing you thought it was going to be.
Yes.
The day that hit me is the first day that I heard this song. And every day that I heard it for the next 3 months, I just associate it with, well, this job isn't what I signed up for.
Your life is over.
Man, I can't sleep till noon anymore on a Wednesday if I want to, which I still did, but I shouldn't have.
Huh. Okay, wow. Yeah. That's a fair back. So it brings some trauma back to the days. Okay.
Yeah. I also just think the song sucks.
Okay.
You like this song? How old were you when the song came out? You were probably 4.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I don't, you know, I did get a tweet about it. Hey, I didn't realize that there was maybe it was.
Is
more
it still
of a
playing?
No, I turned it down.
Okay, because I can still hear it.
Oh, it's still ringing in your ears, huh?
It's in my ear. On this be nice Thursday, let me just give Ryan Hickey, DJ El Guapo, some credit. He said Penn State on the Zach Gelb show is going to win the whole thing. I clench my jaw because he says this all the time. In fairness, the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Texas Longhorns, who play each other, as we discussed at the start of the show, to start the season, they play each other August 30th, are the betting favorites to be NBA champions. The next best odds, so the third best odds are, you ready? Drum roll, please. Your Penn State Nittany Lions.
Let's go.
James Franklin is still their coach, though. Then Georgia, Clemson, Notre Dame, Alabama, and Oregon round out 11-1 or better. LSU is at 18-1, and then things get pretty long shotty. 30-1 for Michigan, 40-1 for Florida, Ole Miss, A&M. I mean, Miami, those guys aren't winning. Where's Missouri on here? Let's find them. Still scrolling. You know what? Iowa has better odds, 150-1, than Missouri, 200-1.
So you're saying there's a chance. Mizzou, by the way, does have Penn State's former backup quarterback this year, so there's a little part of me that will be wanting to see your alma mater succeed, Bo Prabula.
Let's go. They won't. They're Missouri. Let's do a little, but it's a, you know, it's a be nice Thursday. Great call, Ryan. You did it. Would you rather?
It's time for Would You Rather on Writer Than You.
Well, it was a not be nice Tuesday at SEC Media Days.
Ooh, I see what you did.
Steve Sarkisian, Texas head coach, was introduced for the media for his big press conference. One problem, though, Bill. The music that was playing behind him was not the Texas fight song, but instead, the Texas A&M Aggie War Hymn. Oof. So would you rather, if you're a college football head coach, be introduced to your arch rival's fight song or be introduced by the wrong name?
So it's Phil Beiter, the head coach of Missouri?
The head coach of Missouri. Phil Beiter. Bill Ryder.
All right. I would rather be introduced to my arch rival's fight song because, like with Jimmy E. World, what you just played, you don't know this if you listen to the podcast, you didn't hear it, I can just point out this song sucks.
And if they forget your name by your own conference, probably pretty forgettable / not respectable.
Jimmy Eat World is the name of the band, right?
Yes, the middle is the name of the song.
Ugh, terrible name.
Would you rather?
Yeah. Okay.
If you had to choose one athlete to watch for the rest of their careers, would you rather watch Caitlin Clark or Arch Manning?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're coming with the hard hitters.
I'm going Caitlin Clark. I know she's going to be an all-time great. And I run the risk of picking Arch and then he, you know.
The great unknown.
How about you? Choose.
I would probably choose Arch Manning.
Come on.
It's also, I'm more of a college football guy, so I would just enjoy, even if he stinks, I would still rather watch.
This includes NFL.
That's also true.
What happens if Arch plays pretty well at Texas, right? He's a top draft pick, starts for an NFL team, and spends his career as the 20th best quarterback in the NFL. Right? Career starter, not a dominant player. You know, so where would that put him on? You know, he's a Geno Smith kind of guy. He's a less...
A Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, I was saying Kirk Cousins minus the highs of the regular season, the lows of the postseason. I think he'll get crucified.
Yeah, I think people characterize it as a disappointment, I would say.
Yeah, the standards are so high.
Crazy. Crazy high. Speaking of high standards, two of the great coaches of all time, Andy Reid, Nick Saban, would you rather, if you're starting a football team today,
oh, wow. Okay.
Which one would you rather have be your coach?
I need to know if it's NFL or college.
Neither. High school.
High school coach. Oh, Nick Saban. Nick Saban could basically pull a Friday Night Lights, the TV version, which is a great show, and take a bunch of bums and make him into state champions. Andy's amazing, but he needs a quarterback. We saw that in Philly.
Fair.
Sorry, Donovan. Yeah.
So we learned of a bizarre sports injury a few weeks ago. Najee Harris, unfortunately, got hit in the face with a firecracker. Has yet to report right now to Chargers training camp. Still in Stanford getting some second opinions. He's on the non-football injury list, but it's believed he will not be there long. So if you were an athlete, and we talk about some bizarre sports injuries, Bill.
Okay.
Would you rather be like Najee Harris, get hit in the face by a firecracker, and you're okay, but still right now, you know, hurt? Or would you rather suffer wrist inflammation due to playing a video game, specifically Guitar Hero, like former pitcher, Tigers pitcher Joel Zamaya did now almost 20 years ago?
I'm actually going to say fireworks. Because what an idiot to injure yourself playing a video game, right? A firework could be, well, just it went the wrong direction. It's not great. I won't describe it as part of your application to make Mensa as well, but I don't think it's quite the low of I injured my wrist. And it just sounds, you injured your wrist playing a video game and you're a professional athlete? Send him to rookie ball.
Both are embarrassing. I would agree with you. At least the firecracker is a little more accidental than just 10 hours a day, every day, playing a video game. Would you rather?
Okay.
If you were not doing sports radio.
Sure.
Be a comedian or a musician?
Okay. I think musician. I think comedian's a pretty awful lifestyle, as I understand it. Am I guaranteed the same level of success?
Yes. Yes.
You'd I think make I'll take musician.
Both. Okay.
And in the end of the day, musicians create beauty. And comedians rip people apart for money.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's an accurate way.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
Sadly, my personality, not my skills, much more lean themselves toward being a comedian. I can be mean. I'm not sure I can be beautiful.
Since we're talking about, you know, some bad things today and the bad news are coming back from this break, would you rather, if you're at a wedding, have bad food or listen to bad music?
Ooh, are you flirting with both at your wedding? Is that what you're saying?
Probably.
Probably. Oh, really?
No. No.
100%.
Actually, I don't even care about the food, but.
I just care
about the good music.
No. I'd much rather have bad music because people are going to come from far away. It's expensive to go to a wedding. They got to spend money in a hotel. Trust me, 80% of them are going to be put out. You're getting married. They have to like go and spend the money on it. You got to feed them well.
Better than good music and just. Bad dancing, if you're not moving, that's just the buzzkill of the century.
Most of the people that come to your thing are old or have kids. Here's a little breaking news for you. Most people don't want to come to your wedding.
That's fair. Okay.
I didn't know that when I got married. I was like, come on out to Iowa. We're going to have the wedding at this random church where the Pope blessed, and then we're going to drive 50 minutes to the other thing. In retrospect, to everyone that came, I'm sorry. Lori did it.
Let's finish here with a high note. Would you rather have to do the dishes or do the laundry?
Well, it's a weird time to ask me because my dishwasher's not working. So I haven't had a dishwasher for a week. I'd rather do the laundry.
I agree.
I do both. I do both, though, because my wife, what is her take on chores? How would I describe this? I would describe it as no.
Just straight describe it. No.
No, maybe a no thank you. It's more about, what are you talking about? She has chores amnesia. Can't remember they exist.
I didn't know the sink needed to be clean. Huh, weird.
How do you think the towels get done? I don't know, the towel fairy? No, man. It's me, your husband, who does a sports talk radio show. All right. I bet Joe Theismann doesn't do the laundry. Either way, we're going to have him wash some sports takes for us next year. I'm Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Our next guest is a legend and a great guy, Super Bowl champion, former MVP, multi-time Pro Bowler, Walter Payton Man of the Year Award winner, played at Notre Dame. Have you guessed it yet? Our good friend Joe Theismann. Theismann7 on X on Twitter. Joe, good morning, man. Hope your summer is treating you well.
Good morning to you, Bill. It really is. Yeah, we're getting close. We're about a week away. From everybody, most people lining up headed for training camp. So, pretty exciting time right now again.
Great run last year in that playoff run for the Commanders. They've added Von Miller. They've got in Jaden Daniels a much hyped quarterback coming into year two. I'm not trying to take anything away from the NFC. There's good teams, but it's not nearly as formidable, at least on paper, as the AFC. What are realistic expectations for what that team can do this year, Joe?
Well, as the fans would have it, you know, you almost made it to the Super Bowl, so I'm sure their expectations are, for most people, the Super Bowl, but it's an entirely different schedule. And every year is different, Bill. You know, what that team accomplished last year, particularly at the end of the season when they were winning games in overtime and winning games with Hail Marys, it's going to be a different challenge this year because you're going to travel overseas. And for a lot of young guys, this is really going to be their first experience with 3 days of preparation, 10 days off, a very disjointed type of a season. You travel to Kansas City, you get the Lions, you've got Denver, you've got obviously the Eagles, the Cowboys and the Giants in the division. Basically, that's the way you finish your season, is with the division competition. So I think, you know, it's going to be a challenge just managing, you know, the youth of this football team and keeping them ready to go. But we have something very special in Jaden Daniels, and, you know, he's the straw that stirs the drink.
He really is. Amazing rookie season. Joe Theismann here on the show. Joe, obviously, that run to the conference championship, Jaden's, I think, legitimate rise to stardom immediately. I don't know if you saw this, but ESPN, like a lot of places do, just came out with their top 10 quarterbacks. They had Jaden Daniels number 5. All of those expectations, and all the tape now, right? I mean, there's a season of tape on him for defensive coordinators that know they get to go up against him. What does he need to do, or the organization, to try to avoid? And look, C.J. Stroud wasn't bad last year, but he also had massive expectations that maybe were unfair, he didn't live up to. Sophomore slumps, sophomore years happen. What does Jaden Daniels have to do to try to continue on this incredible trajectory he started in his rookie year?
Bill, you make some great points. First of all, the sophomore year, everybody has film on him. Now they see his strengths. They see his weaknesses. They will analyze it as much as the coaches do for the Commanders. Their offense does. The schedule makes a difference. And so when people get an idea of what you want to do, it really is up to the coordinator to be able to make the adjustments. Because you know what you have. He throws the ball down the well. He throws the ball downfield well. He has excellent athleticism. But you want to be able to, I think you want to be able to run the football better if you're Washington, to take a little bit of pressure off him. They still have Terry McLaurin unsigned. And, you know, Terry a couple days ago expressed his frustration for the lack of communication. And they signed Debo and they've signed Vaughn Miller. So they've added different pieces, brought Bobby Wagner back. An interesting blend of age and youth. But I think in Jaden's case, he'll continue to get better because that's the type of a young man he is. He will work at his trade. And one of the things that I'm proud of him more than anything is he's learning how to keep himself healthy. Because I tell a lot of young guys, you don't do anybody any good, especially yourself, when you're standing on the sidelines watching. When you have a chance to play in practice, you have a chance to get better. And that's what he's been able to do. His football team, I think, will be better. Added Larry Tunsil, which, you know, offensive lines are the key. If you look at the Super Bowl last year, the difference in that game was the defensive line of the Philadelphia Eagles against the offensive line of the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs' line couldn't hold up against them. So if you can rush 4 and drop 7, very few places to go with the football. So I think the additions will help him. He'll continue to grow. And the big thing is to keep your football team healthy and him healthy. But a great analogy was with C.J. Stroud with the Texans. You know, what's it going to look like when people throw different things at him? And I don't think it's going to affect him. I just really believe he's that type of a player that it won't affect him.
Joe Theismann, on a 1 to 10 scale or however you want to assess it, what is the concern level about Terry McLaurin's frustrations that you just referenced?
People go through this. This is the first time Adam Peters has really had a situation like this in Washington. He was an assistant GM in San Francisco, but this is his show, and it sort of gives you an indication of the way I think that the Commanders want to approach it. They're going to take their time. Terry has 1 year left on a contract. Now, the top receivers range from $40 million a year to $28 and change a year. Terry's at $15 million. I don't know what the offer is to him. He seems like it's, you know, obviously not good enough. The Commanders will take a look, see it. And, Bill, I always look at when you're in a situation like this as management, what's your next option if you don't have Terry on your football team? And signed in, 82 catches, 13 touchdowns. Where's the next guy going to come from? Debo's a different kind of a football player than Terry. So, you know, and certainly you're not strapped by any by paying your quarterback a lot of money, which a lot of teams are really, you know, Dallas, for example, has to figure out what to do with Micah. Other teams, you know, have to figure out what to do because they pay their quarterback so much. So, you know, I try and analyze this thing on both sides. But, you know, Adam has taken his stance and Terry expressed his frustration. I think the frustration is more from a lack of communication. They said they haven't heard from him in a month. So that's always tough. I don't care if you're any kind of relationship you're in. When communication is not handled, it becomes frustrating.
Joe Theismann hanging out here on the show. I'm Bill Ryder. This is the Infinity Sports Network. Joe, last Commander's question for you. Von Miller is a part of that organization now. He's 36 years old. He had the fewest snaps of his career last year, but when he was on the field, he had an impact at times. To what degree is this a huge signing from a leadership perspective, a locker room perspective, a playing perspective, no perspective perhaps? How significant is this for this team?
Well, first of all, I think you're adding a quality football player that, you know, you're anticipating a playoff run. You're anticipating moments where he'll be what he was before. But there's great leadership on it. Bobby Wagner does a great job of leading this football team. I mean, this football team has a wonderful blend of veterans that can lead this football team. Vaughn can only enhance that. I think even though he played his fewest snaps last year than he did, I don't expect that number to drastically increase this year. I think they'll want to spot him and give him a chance to be fresh, to be able to be the impact player that he has been. You know, you've added a quality football player. That's the thing you have to look at.
Joe, those of us in the media love rankings. My wife, speaking of communication, thinks it's – I like to rank things, and she gets very annoyed by it. But it's a sports writer, sports talker sort of problem. And ESPN just had their top 10 quarterback list out, and Jaden Daniels was 5, which I thought was interesting. Jalen Hurts was all the way down at 9. And there's a lot of good quarterbacks in the National Football League, but many people, myself included, took a little exception to where Jalen was. When you look at Jalen Hurts just in a vacuum as a quarterback – where does he belong in the conversation in the National Football League?
I think he certainly belongs in the top 10. You know, it's such a subjective decision. It depends on, you know, what you want. Patrick is number one for obvious reasons. He did not have what was considered a great year last year. Problems in the offensive line. Travis Kelce did not have a very good year, which is a big part of what Patrick's been able to accomplish and work with. So you have different reasons. I think Jalen belongs there. I mean, he's a world champion quarterback. He's done some great stuff for them. He's made plays when he has to make plays. He certainly belongs in the top 10. Jared Goff is another one that's there. You have to look at there's probably about 12 guys that you look at that give you a chance to win championships. Certainly Matthew Stafford is in there. You know, the year that Jaden had last year is what's really got him in the 5 spot. But then again, you look at the other guys and it's going to take more seasons to really figure out exactly where he fits in. But based on last year, he's in the right spot.
Joe, I started the show talking about Arch Manning and I want to ask you about this because some names in sports, just through performance, become iconic, right, in sort of culture. Your name is one of those names. The Manning name is one of those names. I mean, you've got LeBron James. He's got a son. Tiger has a son who carries his name. That can't be easy, and I certainly can't sort of understand having a name like Joe Theismann or having a name where I'm the son of someone who helps define a sport. Arch has a lot of talent. I'm not even asking if you don't want to weigh in on his ability at Texas. I'm just curious, based on what you've learned in your life, navigating fame, navigating success, navigating all the things that brings, what's the advice you would give someone like Arch Manning who's going to go compete with, unlike a lot of the people around the country, with a name on his back that immediately raises the specter of expectations and scrutiny before he even starts as a player?
You know, it's funny because my oldest son's named Joe. And
it
was tough. Yeah, but Joey is the oldest of my children. And it's tough when your son has your name. I had lunch with Mickey Mantle many years ago, and we were sitting talking about different things, and we got to our sons, and he named his son Mickey, his first son, just like I named Joey mine. And you want to honor your son in that manner, but by giving him that name, he automatically gets compared to you and everything that you have done. And it sort of steals a little bit of the life that they would have, and my other son's Patrick. You know, even though we have the same last name, it's not the same first name. And so I think in Arch's case, you know, Archie was an incredible saint. Peyton spoke, you know, obviously. Eli Manning, Island, obviously. I think Arch has been so used to the Manning name over the decades that he is just a heck of a football player. I text Archie all week, year. I kept saying, let him transfer from Texas to Notre Dame. He's just sitting around at Texas, not playing, not getting a chance. He's going to graduate from there at the age of 35 if they just keep pushing him back and just let him move on. But he stayed the course, and I think he's a terrific athlete. I watched some tape on him, and he reminds me of Peyton so much, just the mannerisms and Eli. I mean, he has a little bit of his uncles in him all the way around. But I think he's going to handle it very well. And like I said, he's been a Manning forever. There have been many before him. It's not like he's the next one. You know, Bronny with LeBron is you have to establish your own identity and really create your own space. And I think he'll be able to do that. I think he's done that. Like I said, it's tough on the kids because you're always compared to your dad. And now you're at a point where you get to separate yourself from it a little bit and become you.
Yeah, and I can relate to that. I'm not an athlete, but my wife really wanted to name my son after me, and I love Lori, and I love that she wanted, but I just didn't want to do that. We named him Henry William instead of William anything.
Henry.
And Henry. It's an interesting, right, because you know, you love your kids more than anything in the world.
Sure.
And at least when I started as a father, I have a daughter who's 16 and Henry's 13. I didn't think about how the world – you don't realize the ways in which you have to try to protect your kids when they're just born, except in the naming of your kid, right? It's the first time you kind of like, how does this impact them? But it's hard to get your arms around it, I think.
Well, the other thing, too, is you don't know, you know, who would be able to anticipate the success. I was blessed to be in great
right.
organizations with great players. You know, at the age of 21 when Joey was born – by the way, we have the same birthday.
Wow, really? That's amazing.
Yeah. At the age of 21, you don't know what the next 10, 15 years of your life are going to look like. So it's great to name your son after you as a father. But then, you know, like I said, if with the success that you have, it continues to put a little more pressure on him. And he's handled it, you know, he's handled it well. And you see different. And I think Arch will just. You know, he's just a terrific athlete. I'm excited to see what he's going to be able to do in a lot
me
of
too.
Different ways. Yeah. I really am.
Yeah, me too. It's, I mean, you're right. It is an honor, and if it's a weight to carry, it's, you know, that's okay too. Joe Theismann, every time I have you on, it's so great because you're one of the best people in the country talking football, but you're also able and willing to talk about, you know, some of the nuances and the humanity behind some of these topics. So it is a pleasure and a privilege, and as always, my friend, I appreciate you being on and just talking football and life.
Anytime, Bill. I'm looking forward to the season. I'm looking forward to catching up to you again, and hope everybody's having a wonderful season and a safe season. And everybody ought to take a moment just to thank those men and women in uniform that protect us, our policemen, our firemen, first responders, those that are defending our country around the world. Just when you see somebody in uniform, just say thank you.
Amen. Including to my sister-in-law, Jenny, and my cousin, Ryan. Thank you to Joe Theismann. That was awesome. I love that guy. I love the insight. Great dude. Great dude. Great interview. Good job, Ryan Hickey, on booking that. Even willing in the afterglow of that to say maybe Penn State can win the whole thing. Great job, Ryan. Love Joe Theismann. And really do appreciate... I like having people on who will speak from the heart as well as from the head. I didn't know that his son was named after him. That would be a burden. Burden's the wrong word. That would be a thing to carry as well as an honor. Joe Theismann. All right, 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. We've got a great buy or sell coming up for you, and Ryan Hickey has a question about the NFL that you're not going to believe. It's next here on Rider Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
I watched that movie too. Tiger Woods, out of the woods, into the... That was bad. That was... You know what? Let's just move on. It's time for... Let's pretend that didn't happen.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, I've been working on it. Tiger Woods, out of the woods, into history. Tiger Woods, out of the woods, into your hearts. Tiger Woods, out of the woods, into lore. Lore is a bit much. I was talking to a buddy the other day, playing tennis, and I was making a bunch of jokes, and some were funny and some weren't. And he goes, when you're making those jokes, do you care whether anybody else thinks that they're funny? And I go, oh no, I have an audience of one in mind. This guy, double thumbs, Bill Ryder. Personality, strength, weakness, I don't know. Whole goal is to amuse myself, Ryan Nicky.
I got a good line for you. Ready for next time. Okay. It was a good joke. Bad audience.
Oh!
That's what I say to my fiance all the time.
I wish we were in... Oh, to her.
Oh, she never laughs at any of my jokes, too. So I know the feeling.
I wish we were in buy or sell and I could buy it. By the way, yesterday, I don't know why, Lori and I were sitting down reading. And I go, you got. And it just looked... For no reason. Because my kid says that. And it looked like it annoyed her. So I said it literally 30 times until she threw a book in my head. I couldn't stop. Go turn it off.
That's relaxing.
I still find it. She's like, can you please? After like the 10th time, like, you got. I just kept saying over and over again. Hashtag marriage.
You got to 30 times before the book?
At least.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
She got so mad. Let me give you a line in return. Because you're getting married in a year and a half. You just got engaged. Here's a great line for moments like this. You chose me. You signed up for this.
It's your funeral, sweetie.
Have a conversation with yourself. You got. All right. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare, want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
That's a great way to tie it in. Look in the mirror. You did it to yourself. You got. That's funny.
God. You know what? I'm going to text her, you got right now. Oh, she's in the car. I'm going to do a little, hey, babe, and then she'll write, what's up? All right. We'll just do it live. See how it goes. Go for it.
Cannot wait for this response.
Hit me.
So last night, the ESPYs, aside from the Shane Gillis jokes, you also got some awards, including the Eagles winning the Best Team from This Past Calendar Year Award, edging out the Dodgers, Thunder, Ohio State Football, Florida Panthers, amongst other teams as well. Buy or sell, Bill, of the past year's champions, you agree that the Philadelphia Eagles were the best team in sports last year?
It's really hard to argue with any of these teams getting selected. I think that the argument I might have made over them would be the Dodgers. For pure star power and the sort of culmination or the crowning jewel of Shohei Ohtani's remarkable season, I think the best player in sports is Shohei Ohtani right now. But I'll buy that I can co-sign on this.
Buy.
I mean, here's the thing that's dumb about the ESPYs. I mean, there's a lot that's dumb about... Buy that there's a lot that's dumb with the ESPYs. Buy or sell.
Buy.
Yeah, I mean, this is so ridiculous. Every team that won a championship can win that thing. The best team.
Yes, but I think there are levels. Like, the UConn women's basketball team was nominated for a second. Like, were they the most? Did they dominate college basketball throughout? No. It's probably more of a bit of a surprise. Like, you know, there are surprise champions where it's like, oh, wow, we didn't see this coming.
Buy or sell, this would be better if for every good award they had a negative award. Like, you know, the biggest disappointment.
Buy.
I mean... Yeah, for literally. But the Sixers could have won an award last night. The most disappointing team in... What was the most disappointing team in the NFL last year? If you hit the Chiefs, you're fired.
Oh, I mean, the 49ers missed the play. I know they were hurt.
The Niners, yeah.
I'm just trying to think of the
time. It's not a bad one.
The Jets, I mean, I don't know about you.
I think the Jets are a good one. I think the Bears could have been nominated for that. Maybe that was a little over the top in expectations.
But that was
That's
bad
interesting.
Coach. Yeah.
That's interesting. Or, like, you know what I think would also be interesting? Best coordinator. Give me the best coordinator in all sports. Best assistant coach or coordinator. I'm interested in that. The non-obvious stuff. Who wins that? Ben Johnson, maybe, in the NFL? Maybe? Maybe not, though. Maybe it's Vic Fangio.
True.
ESPN, is it's the lowest common denominator. The best thing about that show is Shane Gillis.
Well, you're going to love the next question then.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Because not only do they do the best team, they did the best male athletes.
Sure.
And this was loaded. Saquon Barkley, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Shohei Ohtani, Josh Allen. Those are the four nominees. The winner was SGA. Buy or sell? You agree with this selection?
Sell. This is ridiculous.
Sell.
I mean, it's Shohei Ohtani. Didn't he have a 50-50 season last year?
He did.
Have I lost my mind? And he won the World Series.
Could you argue should have been fourth out of four?
Look, I think Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is amazing. And I think this is like if you point to Mount Rushmore and you say, who's the best president there? Or you point to the top five players in NBA history or the top five quarterbacks in NFL history and you say, who's the there's no insult in ranking someone last on that list because it's all luminaries. Okay? Did I properly put an asterisk around what I'm about to say so people cannot be offended? Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is last on the list because he could have, I didn't vote for him for MVP. It could have been Jokic. So it was an amazing season. They won an NBA championship. They're amazing. He's amazing. But I don't know, man. Better than Barkley, who carried a team as a running back to a Super Bowl? Better than Shohei Ohtani, who did something that I thought wasn't going to happen in baseball since stolen bases went out of favor?
I don't know how the buy or
sell,
compiled.
Just ready, buy or sell, the ESPYs are run by cowards.
Buy.
Heads ticking.
Do you think it's as simple as, hey, he won the championship and the championship MVP. No one else on this list did. It's his?
I guess so.
Right, Jalen Hurts won Super Bowl MVP. I'm Blake Randall, who won the World Series MVP, but it was not Ohtani, and Josh Allen did not win the Super Bowl. Is it as simple as this guy has two awards, basically everyone else has one, or ring, whatever it may be, he wins?
But that doesn't make him the best athlete.
Oh, I agree. I'm just trying to figure out, like, how do you get to this answer?
I mean, I've stopped watching the ESPYs. I watched Shane Gillis. That was what I was interested in. I've stopped watching the ESPYs in large part because I don't find them interesting or surprising or riveting. They should just do, you know, best NBA team, and then a shocker, it's the Thunder. Best NFL team, and a shocker, it's the Eagles. I mean, everything that happens is just so vanilla.
I think they didn't do team, they did player, though, I think, for each sport. I think best NFL player, best...
I understand. I'm saying that since there's a championship race that happens, you don't need to have a best team award. It's decided... My point is that they do the most obvious thing.
Yes. No, I missed the point. I
know there's not a best team award. That's what the season's for. Also, who crowned ESPN the arbiter of this?
Themselves, literally.
Yeah, they did. They did. And we're talking about it. We fell for the okie dokie.
Maybe we should do the Odysseys next year.
Hey, Kat. Hey, girl. Would you say the Odysseys?
Yeah.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Radio host of the year goes to Maggie and Perloff, Bill Ryder, Zach Gelb, Rich Eisen. It's a seven-way tie. Bart Winkler, his name goes first. Everybody. Who would I forget? JR and Pat Boyle.
It's time for the greatest national time slot award for the Infinity Sports Network between 10 a.m. and noon Eastern. There's only one nominee.
The winner goes to fill in this guy. Yeah. Uh-oh.
But if we had the Odysseys, I think we could get some negative topics. That should be very interesting.
We could. We could.
Probably get some better ratings for
sure.
Oh,
man. Buy or sell that my dream, not anymore, but I used to back when we had some different people on the, I wanted to have the producer rank the shows, the host, like 1 to 10 or whatever. Buy or sell, you would have enjoyed that.
Sell.
I would have enjoyed it as someone sitting down listening.
I was going to just rank all the egomaniacs last, just to see how their reaction was. But then it was suggested to me maybe that wouldn't go over well.
Bill Ryder does love conflict, though, so...
I do like conflict,
You do not shy away from people coming at you.
Yep.
Last night, aside from the ESPYs, we also got some NFL news as the Commanders signed 8-time Pro Bowl defensive end Von Miller. Now, Von Miller is coming off a year with the Bills in which he played the second fewest amount of snaps in his career, but in that short amount of time did register 6 sacks. Last year, Washington as a team had 43 sacks, tied for the 11th most in the league. Buy or sell, the Commanders right now are the second-best team in the NFC behind the Eagles.
Man, it's a great question because, all right, so who would be... there's a sophomore slump reality that's possible for Jaden Daniels, but I like the move they've made. Terry McLaurin's a little frustrated, so it's an interesting who would be in the contention. So you're gonna put the Niners on that list. You're gonna put whoever you think is the best team in the NFC. You might even be able to put two teams on that list. I think Detroit and Green Bay are worth talking about. I'm not sure what to make of J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota. I think that's too big a question mark for me. Who am I for? Anybody I'm forgetting?
Would you put the Rams or the Buccaneers in there in that conversation as well?
Not ahead of the Commanders.
Okay.
I'll buy. It's a good question.
Buy.
But I do think that had you asked me a year ago, going into the NFL season, every NFL guest we had on, every guest, I said, who's the team that's most likely to beat the Chiefs, right? And the overwhelming answer, by the way, no one did. Chiefs made the Super Bowl. The overwhelming answer, I mean 80% of the people, said the Houston Texans a year ago today. Yeah. So there is C.J. Stroud and what they've done, and they're just going to make another leap, and they've added Stephon Diggs and blah, 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 blah. It's NFL's it's a rickety ship to try to navigate across the waters of expectation. So I'm here for the Commanders, but I could certainly see it being a 10-7 season because those things do happen.
In NBA news, Bill, yesterday the Clippers added Bradley Beal after Beal was bought out by the Suns. Now you look at that starting five, it's Beal alongside James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, John Collins, and Ivica Zubac. Buy or sell? Clippers are a top four team in the West next season.
Man, there's no right answer here. Whatever I answer is going to be wrong. Because Kawhi Leonard and James Harden, between them, could play 60 games. And Bradley Beal, who didn't want to share the ball in Phoenix or wasn't able to operate without being the... But I'm going to sell. I don't believe it. I want to get there. I want to get there. I can't get there.
Okay.
Do you believe it? Do you buy that they're a top 14?
I do not.
Okay.
I like what the Nuggets did. I like the Wolves.
Me too. Yeah, that's the. By the way, this is going to sound crazy. I think the Spurs, if Wembanyama plays, can make a huge leap.
Made some good
even
additions.
Before
good
they
draft
trade
picks.
For Houston.
Houston.
With Durant. Houston without Durant last year was the 2-seed.
I like it. Yeah.
I don't think the Lakers are going to be good, but they could be. You tell me the Lakers are better than the Clippers? Sure. Luke and LeBron work out, and if LeBron's there and Kawhi can't play, and the Lakers have a better record than the Clippers, okay, totally believable.
Lakers were a 3-seed last year, and I lost in the first round, but still,
you're right.
Top 3 team in the West.
Right. Yep.
How about this? MLB All-Star Game on Tuesday night brought in 7.2 million viewers, which is the highest total for the Midsummer Classic since 2017. Now, for context, the NBA All-Star Game and the Pro Bowl each brought in 4.7 million viewers, almost double the amount baseball got over football and basketball. Buy or sell? Baseball's prominence is rising again.
I think incrementally, I think it's a great product. I think some of the things Manfred has done are important, but as we've talked about, for me, the real way to catapult it, it's also in the middle of the summer and there's nothing going on. So the real way to catapult it in a meaningful way is to create a system where other teams that don't spend money are required to. A spending floor of some kind, for me, is a requirement. Unlikely, though, it is.
In golf this morning at the Open Championship at Royal Portrush, Phil Mickelson, how about this, made some noise, carding a 1-under-70, his best opening round at the Open since 2016. Now, Phil's last major victory is back in 2021 at the PGA Championship. Buy or sell? Phil Mickelson still intrigues you.
I'm gonna buy.
Buy.
Look, this is an event in particular where guys that are great but older can win. Tom Watson should have won the Open Championship when he was 58, and he double bogeyed 18 to go to a playoff and lost because he got exhausted. But yes, if you can keep the ball straight, if you can scramble a little bit, if you can summon some of that magic. And the fact is that I'm not as into golf minus Tiger. I know Scottie Scheffler's amazing. Phil still kind of gets my golf heartbeat beating a little bit for some reason. I don't even like Phil, but I'm interested in watching him win or play.
And let's end with this. A Reddit thread recently has revealed a trend of parents joining their son or daughter's honeymoon.
Dear God. This was the plot line of White Lotus Season 1.
Yeah. Oh, good call. You're right.
Okay, please continue.
Users have revealed stories of how, because parents have paid for the honeymoon in some cases, they felt entitled to tag along. So I'll ask you, buy or sell? It's okay for parents to join a honeymoon if they pay for it.
Sell.
Sell.
My parents gave Lori and I a lot of money, like $2,000 or $3,000 or something like that, when we got married as a wedding gift to go on our honeymoon. And my parents are normal, so they would never have done this. But Mom and Dad, if you're listening, had they insisted on going, I would have lied to them and told them we were going to Dublin and then flown as I did to Rome. No. Yeah, we'll see you there. We'll be at the Marriott Dublin. See you there. Room 121. No, man. Buy or sell, this is something you're going to have to worry about.
Sell. Okay.
There was one story by one user who said that the mother-in-law not only was in the hotel room next to them on the honeymoon, had one of those adjoining doors.
Does the mother-in-law understand what happens on the honeymoon?
Clearly not. Or doesn't care.
Buy or sell that you were tempted to put in here, even though nothing to do with sports, what appeared to be married guy with his HR director, allegedly getting called at a Coldplay concert, cheating on his wife.
Buy.
Buy or sell, you feel bad for him at all.
Sell.
Yeah, I don't either. Feel bad for his wife.
Same. And seemingly her husband as well.
She's married too, allegedly.
From what I've seen, allegedly, all alleged, they both are married.
Buy or sell, there's any way that husband go home and just try to, we're going to Rome, and try to keep his wife off social media. Any way he can get through this, if it's true.
Sell.
She probably had 10 friends already send that video.
You're right. What a good way to get fired, too. What are you doing?
Your whole life got flushed down the drain in the span of 5 seconds.
If it's real and it looks real, the look on their she covers her face and turns around. He dives to the floor. And I remember thinking, that's not the wrong. What you got to do is just play it off like, this isn't a big deal. But he's got an arm. I mean,
You're right. Like, how long are they actually going to keep the camera on you? Like, if you acted normal.
Right.
Right. Maybe no one knows. Like, if your wife is not there and none of her friends are there, who's going to
notice? Maybe it doesn't go viral.
Right. The reaction is why people are like, oh my God, look at this.
Look at him diving to the floor.
Everyone assumes you're together on a kiss cam unless you give reason to believe otherwise.
It's the equivalent of if I was walking down the street and a police officer goes, sir, and I just bolted into a dead sprint. You got to be like, what's up, man?
Tell me you're guilty. Now tell me you're guilty. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we've gone too long. Let's talk Joel Embiid after we get a sports flash from Chris LaPresti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, NFL training camps get underway next week. Von Miller's got himself a new team. The veteran pass rusher reportedly joining the Commanders on a one-year deal. He played the last three seasons with the Bills, previously a Super Bowl winner with both the Rams and the Broncos. Former Texans and Eagles linebacker Brian Braman passed away today at the age of 38 after seeking treatment this year for a rare aggressive form of cancer. He had undergone multiple surgeries during treatment in Seattle following his cancer diagnosis back in February. Caitlin Clark did not play in last night's fever loss to the Liberty. She's dealing with a groin injury suffered late in Tuesday night's game. Status for All-Star festivities this weekend in Indianapolis now up in the air. Previously named a participant for the three-point contest as well as a starter and captain for Saturday's game. She went for imaging yesterday, but head coach Stephanie White would only say she considered the results good news because they're still talking about a day-to-day timeline, at least for now. Round one of the Open Championship from Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland is a four-way tie for the lead 4-under par, shared by the English duo of Matt Fitzpatrick and Aaron Rye, along with China's Haotong Li and Denmark's J.S. Olsen, all but Rye already in the clubhouse. Scotty Scheffler hunting his fourth major, one shot back at 3-under, and 55-year-old Phil Mickelson carded a 1-under 70. He's currently three shots off the pace, his best opening round in this event since 2016. I'm Chris LaPresti.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Writer with you here on the Infinity Sports Network. This portion of the program is sponsored by Hyundai's 2025 hybrid vehicle lineup. Advanced safety and technology meets hybrid efficiency. It's the best of both worlds. Ryan Hickey, speaking of the best of many worlds, it's Writer Than You. It's the Infinity Sports Network. It's a Thursday. Do you feel like I pulled off? I want you to be honest. a Be Nice Thursday today?
No.
Came up a little short, huh?
Just a little short.
I feel like James Franklin.
You know what? I'm glad at this point we have blown by it.
We've blown by it.
The
Who's nicer?
20. We're going 80.
Who's nicer, me or James Franklin?
Ooh, I would probably say James Franklin.
Come on, you don't mean that at all.
I met him once. He seemed like a nice guy.
You don't think that's true for one second.
I'll tell you this. If he wins the national title, he could do no wrong in my mind. Be the nicest guy on the planet.
By the way, you make an impression, you make an impression. My parents went on an Iowa Hawkeyes cruise, right? You sign up for a cruise based on your fact you're a Hawkeye fan. And part of the advertisement is the coaches are all going to be there. And my parents are not big stargazers, right? They bumped into Kirk Ferentz at an elevator or somewhere. And so they were like, oh, how's it going? And he was so, by their telling, put out that my parents hate Kirk Ferentz.
Really?
You can't go on a cruise with a bunch of Hawkeye fans and then not be polite when you bump at him in the hallway.
Agreed. I'm shocked they agreed to that in the first place. But, yeah, fair. So that was it. The only interaction they've ever had with Kirk Ferentz was
they're
that elevator,
him.
And now...
They're over him. Wow. Yeah. Well, I don't think it helped that he had his kid be the offensive coordinator for a while and couldn't do offense. My point is, you had one experience with James Franklin. Doesn't mean it's the right experience. It's just your experience.
That's true. And all you can do is judge based on your experience.
I mean, I don't know James Franklin, but from a distance, I would not put him on my top 2,000 rankings of nice people in sports.
Top 2,000?
I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of people out there.
I think there are a lot of nice people, also a lot of jerks. I think
he seems ornery.
Be one of 2,000 people that would be considered
what
nice.
What is?
In all sports.
Every player in hockey is going to be ahead of him.
That's not true.
I think it is.
There's some goons out there.
People, as long as you don't try to fight them on a golf course in Massachusetts, you're going to be fine.
Wow.
Let's go!
Baseball, they're always hugging each other. They seem pretty nice.
They're largely nice guys. There's a lot of those dudes.
Here we go.
Those are big rosters.
So already, James Franklin's like, at best, 800th.
How many college coaches... are there in America, 120 or whatever it is? And we're just talking head coaches? Where is he on that list? 122?
You know what? Nice guys finish last. I've changed my tune. I don't want him to be nice. I hope he's the biggest you-know-what possible. Make no
friends.
There's
nothing wrong with being edgy. There's nothing wrong with being edgy.
This is a competition. You're not here to make friends. You're here to win ball games.
Massive season. If they do not live up to expectations, if they don't make the college football playoff, can he get fired? Can he be on the hot seat?
Can or should? Can?
Yes.
No. Should? Yes.
What's his contract status?
Pretty high. I feel like he's got like a new extension every like 2 years.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He
feels like he does, doesn't he?
It's not like $10 million, let's say, just to kind of go away. It's a
right,
good amount
checking.
Of change.
We should get him on the show.
Okay. Would you be nice to him? What would you say? First question, James Franklin's on the line.
Ryan Hickey's guaranteed you're going to win a national championship this year. We've made fun of him. How do you feel about that? Hello? Hello?
We've laughed at him because you're still the head coach. What do you think about
that? I don't think you're a top 2,000 nice guy. Thoughts?
Prove me wrong.
I don't know how to properly talk about this Joel Embiid story, which is probably why we saved the last 4 minutes. But there's a great piece of work at ESPN from a writer who spent a lot of time with him. It looks like from April to at least by the phone connecting again in the last few weeks. It's a long-form story on Embiid. It's extraordinarily humanizing. And I got to tell you, he's likable. He's insightful. He's smart. I'm not necessarily mad at him for this. My takeaway from this, Ryan, I think Embiid has accepted that his body may not allow him to be the player that he was supposed to be and that he is looking forward to not being under the spotlights and the criticism and being able to spend time with family and just get and live life as a husband and father, and I respect that. It doesn't bode well for the Sixers. And on top of that, he's certainly in there. And look, I've done these stories as a reporter. You spend ample time with someone. They get comfortable. They tell you tons of stuff. Then you get a couple nuggets you can pull out. You should read the whole thing. He definitely took some shots at the Sixers and made it sound like he doesn't think they're understanding of his physical ailments. And so his acceptance in a very humanizing way of the possibility of what could be his career not culminating with a championship or even an appearance in the finals, plus his candor about his frustrations with Daryl Morey and the Sixers, you throw in the fact Paul George had surgery this week, it's not a great week for Sixers fans. Was that your read of this? It was a good. It was an incredibly well-written story, by the way.
It was. And for a while, like, I still look at Embiid differently. I feel like his career, you could categorize as a disappointment just because it hasn't lived up to.
I think it is.
Right? Like, he has all the talent in the world. Now, injuries are part of that. That's not his fault. But the playoff performance is what it is, partly, again, because injuries. And just one where I think it's concerning, too, in the sense of you look ahead. He's injured right now, right? He's still hurt.
Yes.
And he said at the end of the story,
and he doesn't want to rush.
Right. Yeah. I'm done putting myself in a position where I don't trust my ability to be healthy when the Sixers tell me I am. That's not good.
When I was writing for a living, it always meant a lot to me when radio hosts, and I'm not these hosts, I get it, but still would cite my name. Mike and Mike brought up my work all the time and brought me up by name all the time. I'm sure it helped in my career. Colin Cowherd, before I knew Colin, would do it all the time. Jim Rome would do it a lot of the time. So I apologize. I'm gonna butcher this guy's name, but he deserves a shout out. I know. Did you want to? I tried to look it up. Doton Akintoye. And if I screwed that up, I'm really sorry. Doton, first name, last name, Akintoye. This is. I like to probably erroneously consider myself not a half bad writer when I did that full time. This is marvelously well written. This is beautifully well written. The reporting is incredible. The insight is incredible. It's worth your time. It's also just a remarkable piece of writing, piece of work by this guy. So great work by that ESPN writer. That's a show, huh? I think it was a Be Nice Thursday. I think Ryan didn't know how to react to a Be Nice Thursday, and so he thought we weren't nice because he's used to Zach Gelb being mean to him all the time. But we're nice here. We promise. Remember? At the start of the show.
How could I forget?
I named you good-looking DJ. DJ El Guapo.
That is true. Right.
Thank you to Joe Theismann. Thank you to Ryan Hickey, and thank you for listening. We appreciate you. One last show this week. Be back here tomorrow. We can't wait for Rider Than You on a Friday.